And we're holding here in Simen Kuf Nun Gimel, Sif Zayin. We're discussing the halachas of Beis Knesses. So the Mechavi here speaks about selling a Beis Knesses. Had the Beis Knesses nimkar, hani mili v'shal kfarim, she'ein ba'in, nashim komos acherim, shalana'ase elu l'vnei kfarim l'vadu. You have to sell a Beis Knesses of kfar, namely a Beis Knesses of a place where people are locally, they daven. It's not a place where people come to visit and stay there for long times. If it's a Beis Knesses shal ir, the assumption is you need permission for everybody. It's not just a local shul. It's a shul that's shaykh to everybody, and therefore you need permission from everybody. It's a pretty long sif. So let's just read the whole thing and then we'll explain it. So basically, what the Mechaber says here is that there's a difference between a Beis Knesses shel ir, a Beis Knesses shel kfar, and the Beis Knesses shel kfar you can sell. And when you sell the Beis Knesses, the money is kadosh, unless it was done through the Shiva Tuveir, the Maimon Anshayir, which means that you need a committee, and it has to be done publicly to get the best price. It's always done that way. Nobody sells a shul without permission, meaning you always have a vaad of the shul board, and they sell it with permission of the board members. And therefore, if you need to sell a shul, it's very sad, but sometimes communities move. So you sell a shul, and the halacha is that the money is not kadosh. Because it was done the Maimer An Shair al Yeshiva Tuvi Yair. Now this is only true for a Beis Knesses Shel Kfarim. A Beis Knesses Shel Krachim, Shel Krachim says the Mechaber, Shabayim Shabbat Komos Acherim, Afilu Bono Osam Yishalahem, Inu Nimkar, can't sell it. El Afim Talos, Elim Kin Tovatas Yachid, Shaz Yazakom, Bo Hayachim Asherotse, Vaskomas and Siwur. When the Chaldivar Kedusha, Shinisku Khan, the Kulu Griri Basar Beis Knesses. So, the poskim basically try to limit the concept of Beis Knesses shel krach very significantly, because it's much harder to sell. You can't sell Beis Knesses shel krach, only Beis Knesses shel kfar. And the assumption of the poskim is that we basically don't have a Beis Knesses shel krach. That even if you have a city, you have a shul in New York City, but the maisa people don't come there to live there for extended periods of time as guests. And therefore, if a person shows up for Shabbos, that doesn't mean that it's considered krach. And at the end of the day, the minhag is to assume that you are allowed to sell a shul when necessary. And what you do with the money depends how it's done. But it's almost always done on the yeshiva tuvei ir, the money on shiur. You don't need seven. You can have three board members who are appointed for this purpose to sell a shul. And they do it publicly. And the money is chulin. Often, when communities move, they'll use that money to then build the new shul when everybody moves, to the suburbs or whatever. Sometimes it's communities that just die. And then sometimes they'll give the money to yeshivas or to other, mostos. But strictly speaking, you can't sell a Beis Knesses shel krach. But the postgame assume we don't have a Beis Knesses shel krach today, and that's, the working assumption.
Everyone's gone.
Right, in Europe, you have a mazal. In Europe, you have situations where the whole community is wiped out, Rachman al Son. So then the assumption is that you're definitely allowed to sell it. You're definitely allowed to sell it, and the money is chulin. Many yeshivas were built from these types of matzavs, where, in Newark, New Jersey, it used to be like a huge Jewish community, and there are no more Jews anymore. So they sold the buildings, and sometimes they didn't use the money to the new communities, they just donated it, to yeshivas and the whole thing. Okay. Now this halakha applies not only to Beis Knesses, it applies to all things that have Kedushas Beis Knesses. So if you have a shulchan, so it has Kedushas Beis Knesses. So again, if the thing is broken, you can throw it out, unless it's Tashmish to Kedusha. So you assume generally that Beis Knesses is a machlokas. If Beis Knesses tashmish kedusha tashmish mitzvah, usually, you know, some people are machmir to sell anything from the shul. If they want to get rid of it, they do a mechira, symbolic mechira, and they throw it out. But pashas, if the chair breaks, you just throw it out. Like I said, some people try to do a lechomra. But if, let's say, the chair's fine, you just want to sell it. You want to buy new chairs, you want to sell it. So it's kedushas Beis Knesses. So you do it, but ma'amin anshi ya'ir, they sell it by the vad of the shul publicly, you know, and then the money is chul, and they can use that money to buy, you know, other things. If they didn't, and they didn't do it properly, so they just on his own side to sell it, so then the money would have kedusha, and you'd have to use that money for the shul. Either way, they want to use money for the shul, that's why they're selling it. Obviously, if you sell something that has inherent kedusha, if you sell a Sefer Torah, so then the kedusha doesn't go anywhere. The kedusha remains in the Sefer Torah. It has inherent kedusha. If you sell a tashmish to kedusha, let's say you sell an Aron Kodesh. Let's assume for a moment Aron Kodesh is tashmish to kedusha. Well, it doesn't actually touch the Sefer Torah in our day and age, but let's assume it's still mipacha the Sefer Torah. Tell me it's pacha the Sefer Torah. So then there's a machlokes if the selling it al yezayin tuv ha'ir can mafkir the kedusha. Some svarim are meikel. Sort of a video saves meikel. Ashkenazi more machmir. They say, no. The kedusha still remains in that instance. Okay, these are, like I said, are complicated halachas. So if there's a real shaila comes up, you have to, you know, go through it. But bigadol, that's the principles. The Rama adds on yachid shabana beis knesses unachsona lekahal. It's a private shul. Didn't knesses shul kahal. If he donated it, even though it was his house, he donated it as a shul. Then it becomes like a shul. Well, mshir laatzmo bashum koach. If he says no, this is a private shul. In la mecher ki im al pi kahal va al piv. Or Yosha. So if he says that I'm going to still retain, you know, some degree of ownership, then it's not enough to sign to a year. You also need this person or his Yoresh to agree to the sale. So if you only have one shul, you can't sell it. Like I said, if you're in Europe and there are no Jews, then you have only one shul, you still have to sell it because there's no need. Okay, moving on to Sefkes. Banu Bayis Stamik Dishu Achak Beis Knesses. They build a building and then they decide to make it a shul. Dinu Beis Knesses still has a Kedusha Beis Knesses even though it wasn't built for such. Aval Eino Kadosh Achi Spalubo. Then you need to daven in it. Filu Benu L'Shem Beis Knesses. So you always need to actually use it. If they built it as a shul, even if they davened just one mincha, then it's already, you know, considered a shul. So if it wasn't miyucha, then it has to start being used in a more kavua way. And if it was miyucha already, even one tefila, you know, in a raif ofen, they just tied it to chaf a mincha, that would make it have kedushas with knezes. If it's lefisha, this is actually very nageya. Sometimes the shul, you know, can't build a building, so they just rent. So it's lefisha, when you rent a shul, rent a space, so there's kedusha that's temporary. As soon as the schiris is up, the owner can do whatever he wants with the place, because it was only schiris, it's lefisha, and again, you don't even have to make a tenai, or it's implicit in schiris. That it's lefisha. No ability to make it a shul. It's not yours. You're renting it, so you can't turn it into a shul.
I feel like there's a good drasha in like kedusha is not found, so you start down.
Oh, the people bring the kedusha, yeah. Right? They ask what's our shtaybos. What's the most important thing in the shul? So, Vinny, what's the most important thing in the shul? So, people. So, the most important thing is not the Sefer Torah. The most important thing is the people. A lot of depth. Apparently, he asked his granddaughter this question. She, a young girl, said this to him. The most important thing is Emes. The Rav said the Rav has beautiful drasha. The Yehudim Ashul Kosev Sev is given in Yiddish. The Seder, Viter, Tesk. Shemochrim Anje Kvar Beis Haknesses Yicholim Lamachrim Mimkar Olam Alokeach Yasem Mashig Yirtze. When you are able to sell, you know, through Zayin Tov Ha'ir, you can sell it. And you can sell for any purpose. Chutz Merchatz uBursaki. Sorry, if it's not selling it through Zayin Tov Ha'ir, you just sell it without Zayin Tov Ha'ir. You can do sell it for any purpose except for a Merchatz, a BursaKi, a Tefillah, a Tzikizi. It's like a zionistic function. So if you sell it through the va'ad of the shul publicly, you can do whatever you want with the shul. This is a big shaila. Can you turn the shul into a church? Unfortunately, as you know, Galus communities move. So the Bronx was once full of Yidin, and then people are moving out. So what is somebody going to do who buys a building like that? It's a public building. It's not like an apartment building. So they often try to turn it into a church. So I actually saw a book of like pictures of like shuls that were turned into churches, and like you have like the cross, and on the wall you have like, you know, etched in the stone and outside like a Magen David. Like it's very sad.
Actually, in Stanford, when they moved to their new building, they sold it to a church, but because the Magen David is integral to the structural integrity to the building, they can't remove it.
Wow. Okay, so it's very sad. Lemaisa is a motor. So the Mishmur says it's a motor even to sell it for a church. Once you do Zayin to Vayir, you can even sell it as a church. There are Achronim who argue, and this is the Chil Hashem. They try to do Lemaisa, they try to sell it to like a middleman. They sell it to somebody else, and that person sells it as a church, so it's not as direct. That's what I heard they do Lemaisa, but they're different approaches. It's really sad. But that's Kalos, you know, that's part of the inherent in the reality. Okay, I say it's Gaulus, meaning in Poland people lived in the same place for 1,000 years, but I'm saying Gaulus America, you know, the reality is that... Exactly. Okay. Yod. A person has a private Sefer Torah, you have a private shul, so you can sell it, you can do whatever you want with the money. Kol shalo ikdisho likros v'ravim. Some say you shouldn't sell a private Sefer Torah unless you want to use the money to support Torah or to get married. Lemaisa, if you have a private Sefer Torah that you wrote, you know, your sofer, then of course it's mutter. But I've got a person who bought a private Sefer Torah, you know, not for business purposes, but for to have the Sefer Torah, and then he wants to sell it. Does the machlok is it mutter lechatchila to sell, or can you only sell it, you know, in extreme circumstances? They say the inarasim and bracha v'chule, so it's not recommended. Okay. Likewise, a shul can also sell a sefer Torah. Let's say a shul has many sefer Torah, you want to sell all sefer Torah. It's done with zayin to be'ir, so the money is chulin. The sefer Torah has a kedusha, but the money is chulin. Okay. Yud Aleph. If you have an old shul, or you have pieces of an old shul, you can give it as a gift. The assumption is giving a gift is like selling, because you can only give a gift when you get something back, you know, generally. So the ilav hachi, it's like mecher. You can't just lend out, you know, the shul, or you know, if it has a kedusha, you can't lend it out for a non kedusha function. Mechira has a, you know, the kedusha transfers. So even if the money doesn't get kedusha because it was done through zayin to be'ir, there's a transfer. If you're just letting people use it, that's not right. If you want to lend a shul to another community, like you let a different community use it, that's okay. If you want to lend the Sefer Torah, it's probably more feasible. You give a Sefer Torah to a different community, that's mutter. It's not a problem at all. Okay.
And the shul.
Just for example.
For example. The shul allowed to say for Torah to me because I'm having one of the hasidim's in the
right.
shul. So it wouldn't make my basement or
no, certainly not. It's not considered a kedusha sefer Knesset. 100%. Okay. If you have a certain like schus that you're going to be in charge of building the shul. If it's something you didn't buy, you just inherited this right, you can't sell it. If you purchased the right, then you'll be able to sell it. That's another game. Okay. They raise, there's like a building campaign, and now suddenly the community needs the money for something else. Can you take the money from the account and the building campaign and use it for a different mitzvah? Well, see, in Ramaz, it's not Kaddish yet. It was just a campaign. You need permission from the obviously it's with permission of the shul board, but you're allowed to use it for other things. Kanut avanim the chorus, if you already purchased the materials, if you already purchased the materials for the building, you shouldn't sell them unless it's something very, very significant like Pinyan Shvuim. Again, I think I mentioned in the past, Pinyan Shvuim once upon was like Pichu Nefesh. I don't know if Pinyan Shvuim today is always that way. Sometimes advertised Pinyan Shvuim, the guy, you know, cheated on his taxes, he's in prison, you want to help him out, get a good lawyer, it's nice to help, but it's not the same level, you know, Pinyan Shvuim and Pichu Nefesh, you know, as mentioned here. Even if they're about to build the shul, everything is ready, you still finish shvuim, you sell it all. If they already built the shul, you shouldn't sell it for finish shvuim. If they give you a pinyan tzibur, you should try to raise the money elsewhere. If in the end you can't raise the money, you could even sell the shul for pinyan shvuim. Pikuach nefesh is docha everything. Okay. Yoda. Reuven Shamar the Karka Zoo, and he knows him Livnos Aleh Beis Knesset. Reuven says he wants to give this plot of land for a shul. The mayor won't let. So he made it tonight. He wanted to donate for a shul, and now they're stuck. So what happens to the donation? The Karl Omer Livnos Aleh Beis Talmud Torah. The shul said, "Oh, make a school." Reuven Omer Adait the Hachi Lundi Andrea. Reuven says, "I want a shul." Reuven can't be chozer bo. The assumption is that when he said he wants to make a shul, it's like a general donation. Right?
Is this when he says Reuven Omer Adait the Hachi Lo Nedar, is that him clarifying the nether that he made? Or.
Yeah, but after Omer Vitzoveach, any chafet, says Mr. Bruin, Pebez. I came into my car, stam amar, the kafla tonight. He didn't make a tanai kafel. Lamar in leivnu. He didn't make a tanai kafel, so therefore it goes through. With befiches with stock, there's a neder, so then it goes through. Again, if he, you know, lechatchila formulates in such a way, then he would be able to protect his. He only wants a shul, not a shul. Not. And then this seder. Removing lo hayadar sham. If Ruvin's not a member of the city, just somebody from somewhere else. Kol leshanosa. What's going on here? If Reuven doesn't live there, then they can switch. They can change what he intended. Right. Even if it's not for a mitzvah. Even if it's not for a mitzvah. Second. I'm not 100% sure what this means. Just one second. Right, if he lives there, he can say, "I want to wait. I want to wait till I get permission from the mayor." Again, what does it mean? Reuven Shamar Karkazu, and he knows in the Vilna Space Castles. Lots of the Kavim Lanicha and the Vilna Castles. I call Omrim the Vilna Talmud Torah. Reuven Omer, the Hakilo Nadri, Lo Matzi Reuven Hadwe. Reuven can't be Chozer because he made a neder. Reuven Lo Haya Darsham, Hayuchon Neshanosa. Reuven doesn't live there, they can change it and they can build a school. If he lives there, then he can say, "I want a shul." I want to wait for the shul. I don't want the school. I want to wait. If there's a Zayin Tuvah Yair, they can go against him. But if there's no Zayin Tuvah Yair, then he can say, "I want to wait. I want to wait until they build, give me permission to build the shul." Okay. It's always good to have things in writing, make things clear, so we avoid these misunderstandings. Okay. So a person donates the benches to the shul. Next day he gets in a fight with his neighbor. He says, "You can't sit on the benches." It doesn't work that way. You gave it to the shul, it belongs to the shul. You want to say nobody can sit on the benches? Okay, you can't make one, you can't single out one person. It doesn't work that way. Okay. It's like know, from the Kadmonim or some type of like Takana. Tezai, it's amazing how childish people are when they, you know, get upset. Tezai, Misha Hishel Besa Levesa Knesses, Vieshla Marivaim, Echami Kal, Ino Yokola Osra, Imkin Yasern, Al Kola Kal. Likewise, a person says, oh, you can't come to the shul, he's a private shul. He says, oh, you can't come. No, if you can't come, nobody's going to come. V'davka Hishel Tchila, Aval Im Hisna Vitchila, Shakol Sman Shirzi Limkos, Shebiyad Limkos, So if he never gives it over, meaning he really, it's a really mamash, a private shul, like it's like in your basement, and you just let people come in, so then you do have the right to tell people not to come. It's not very nice. But then you technically would have that right. This is a big issue, you know, can you tell somebody not to come to shul? It's an issue, yeah, there's a pedophile, convicted pedophile, got out of prison, happens. He wants to come to shul, so you can't let him, you're not going to let him come to shul. You have to protect the community. So you have to think, you know, twice and three times, and you see, it's with professionals, sometimes they have like a shomer. A guy who comes to shul, he always meets the guy at the door, davens, and he walks him out. And he's not going to hang around, you know, in the junior minyan, he won't hang around the kiddush, you know. But the same thing, you have to give, these people are people who have to be serviced by the Jewish community. Just because he did a terrible affair doesn't mean he's not a yid, doesn't mean he can't come to shul. Same time, you have to protect yourself. And you can't be naive, and you have to be responsible. So it's a very, very tough call how to do it in a responsible way. Some shuls just don't let these people in, and I understand where it's coming from. And at the same time, you have to know how to balance. And the fact that a person did a terrible affair doesn't mean that he doesn't have the right to come and daven. But it's, of course, a very sticky issue. Sometimes, you know, if it's the same community where he hurt people in the shul, so he's going to see the same for the victim, you know, it can be very, very traumatic. So if it's so traumatic, he should go to a different shul, he should move, you know what I'm saying? But this idea that a person did an avera, a terrible avera, and therefore we're not going to talk to him and not going to have anything to do with him forever, isn't always the halakhically the correct thing to do. Same time, like I said, you have to be responsible, and you have to make sure that it's done with their cheretz, and the mitzvah of Avzer applies to even people who did averas, and especially if they claim they did tshuva. At the same time, you can't be naive, because some of these people, they want to do tshuva, but it's inherent, it's built in, there are psychological conditions that you know, it's very hard for them to actually, you know, do tshuva shleim, if you will. So it's a sticky issue. The Seder. Person has like a chazaka on a minion. He always has the minion in his shul. And somebody says, I want to have it somewhere else. So if he has a chazaka that he does the minion there, you can't just decide to go somewhere else. And sometimes you can split, the shul split all the time. And unfortunately, often it's very, very sticky and the machlokas. If the shul's split, they have a more left wing or more right wing. So if you try to do it in a menschlich way, and everybody wants to serve Hashem in their own derech, you know, that's the best way to do it. Sometimes it's healthy to split in economy. You know, people can walk less, they don't have to walk as far, and they can have their particular flavor, and their particular style, but it has to be done without machlokas. Writer. Yesh misha omer shakli kekdeshel kesef shenagul aviyam tamil lebesik neses b'chagim ein yicholim lehotzi lechulim lemochram. Person, every Hanukkah, he brings his menorah to shul. So now, can you just sell a menorah, or does it become like a tashmish of the shul? It becomes like a part of the base knesses. So some people say that every Hanukkah, he brings the Hanukkah to shul, so it becomes like a chefza of the shul. And therefore, you know, he's required to continue that practice.
Would the shul have to compensate the individual?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Eminent domain.
Again, this is always, like I said, it's the best thing to do. It happens all the time with shul, with Sefer Torah. Like people have their Sefer Torah and they let the shul use it, and they don't write a contract, and it ends up, you know, today it's less, today feel more aware. But it's always wise to have everything in writing, not to have any misunderstandings. Okay. A person finds in his late father's, like, you know, desk, you know, they're donating this to the shul. So some people say you have to follow through. You know, usually what they do today, every time a person writes a will, it always says, this will is on vatal any other wills. Or is it? So like the most recent will is binding. I'm not sure, you know, in terms of hektish, because if a person is like a neder, maybe Taka would be a chayiv, even if he wrote a will, a more updated will. If he has a neder, he's going to give $10,000 to the shul, and it says black and white on the paper, maybe the children would have to give it. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Chaf. Yesh misha omer shesefer Torah shehuchzak shehaya shal avosav shal ruvein ena tzibuchon lehachzik bo. If everybody knows this was, like, you know, the family sefer Torah, so the tzibur shouldn't take it. But like I said, it's sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it's taken, and the best thing is to have it clear from the onset. Sometimes on the Atzei Chaim, they write family Sefer Torah. It's very quick, a little plaque on the Atzei Chaim. You know, if you put it on in the mantle, it doesn't help because you can switch the mantle. But it's on the Atzei Chaim, sometimes that small Eitzah helps people get, you know, the Sefer Torah. Sometimes now the families pay for the insurance. So if they're constantly paying, it's more obvious it's theirs. But if they just give it and they leave, you know, and then after the grandfather passes away, they come back to the shul, they say, where's the Sefer Torah? Like, oh, your grandfather donated it. What do you mean he donated it? He told me he did it. Oh, he did. You know, it's a little pushes. Chaf Aleph. Ein liknos me'ilim shenishamish behem hedyot atashmish kedusha. You shouldn't use, you know, materials that were not, you know, new for the me'il. Ve'aso la'asos Okay, it's a different reality. A pnuyos ketashos, the prostitute's going to give a donation to the shul. When it's beautiful, they want to give a donation to the shul. In our day and age, it's not exactly, you know, happening. What does happen is there are people who are known to have bad business practices. You know, they're selling arms, or they're just stop stealing a business, and then they want to give a donation to the shul. So what do? Can you take the money? So it's a very sticky issue. Sometimes you have issues where a person is intermarried, wants to give a donation to the shul. You know, you machshir his avera. And something, like I said, it could be an upstanding member of the community, but it's known that his business is not kosher v'yusher, as they say. So what do you do in that case? So you have to try to figure out if there's a chilul Hashem involved. You know, to take the money, it's better not to take it. It's hard to turn down donations, but you know, you have to make sure that you're not, you know, the integrity of Torah is not being sacrificed. And this idea that nishtanu hamos, you know, is a pesach lehater, that it's only if the woman receives the esnan through money, so then the money, it's like it's not the same. Right? Only the esnan is aser. If you give mos, it's mutter. But you have to be wise. You know, you don't want to chil Hashem. The shul is a place of kiddush Hashem, and everything should be done to be moneya even Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. I know of a yeshiva that was given a large donation by a certain person, and they took it, and then they found it after that. You know, he was involved in the arms business. And when I say arms business, I don't mean like he's selling, you know, defense systems. You know, I'm talking about people who are selling to guerrilla warfare. Right. You know, right, exactly. So Lamaisa, what the yeshiva did is that they didn't want to take more. It was already given. To give back, you know, I think the money was already, you know, endowed and whatever. So the person offered more, so they didn't take more, you know, nicely. But they felt not to give back. I don't know the cheshbon, I only heard it secondhand. But, you know, this is an important issue. I know that in YU, Dr. Dubrinsky, was once offered a very large sum of money by a person who was ill with Alzheimer's, and he turned it down, and it made big news that it was Kiddush Hashem. He was offered like, you know, $10 million, and the person wasn't 100% there, and he said, why don't you speak to your children? And, you know, and the kids didn't want, and you know, he didn't take the donation. So it's a Kiddush Hashem that can come out by not taking. That's a type of place where you don't really hurt anybody, meaning, again, maybe you did, I don't know, but you have to take it seriously. The ends don't justify the means. Okay. Adam shu ragel b'shum mitzvah kama galila v'iru ones oni v'nasu kala mitzvah. Sometimes they sell kibudim. So every year he would buy him after Yonah. Give $1,000. One year he was poor. So he wasn't able to buy. He had a bad year financially. So somebody else bought it. Now he's already wealthy. He wants to buy him after Yonah again. But somebody else bought it last year. So if he could have afforded it, he just, you know, didn't think it was a wise decision, then he can buy it back. But if he can't buy it back. But if he couldn't afford it, then he can buy it back. Meaning, if he really didn't have the ability financially to do it, so then he has the right to reclaim it. But if he just didn't chose not to, then he doesn't have the right to reclaim it. Etc. Then he's allowed to reclaim it. Okay. Beseder. Let's move on to Simon Kuf Nun Dalet. Hine Tashmish Kedusha of an aerospace Knesses. So even though you daven outside once in a while, there's no kedusha. So getting back to the corona related question, even if you daven, you know, the past 9 months or 12 months, you've been davening in the chatzer of your building, it's not a shul. They're davening in a chatzer of your building because until they reopen the shuls. Now, again, even if it's kfius, it's a kfius of arai, meaning we're just waiting for the pandemic to end and we'll all go back to shul. Ein mem shum kedusha. Now, this isn't necessarily true for, let's say, you know, you ever been to the Groshul in Shari Chesed? Like, there's like an entranceway. It's like a, so P.A. David did. They even have like a little Aron Kodesh. So that's a shul. That's kedushas beis kenesis, because that's, or some shuls have like a chatzer and they're always making a minion, like in Kibbutz Mordechai, right, next to the Chenicha Yeshivas. So they have a inside minion and then they have a little chatzer, and there's always a second minion in the chatzer, like every morning, every afternoon. So like then you could argue that that already has a din of a kedushas beis kenesis. It's the chatzer of the shul, and there's always a minion there, not just like a spillover once in a while. So that might have kedushas beis kenesis in terms of, you know, how you're knowing v'chule. Fine. Base. Hasochin bais mispalim bo. We mentioned this already previously. If you rent a location to daven in, ain't the nekneses. There's no kedusha in that place. While they're still renting, so the pashtun is you should be knowing some kedusha. You shouldn't be dvarim bezuyim because they're using it. They're renting it as a shul for this year. So it's true. Once the rental's up, it goes back to regular. But while they're, even the mechaber doesn't sound like that. The ver halacha sounds like while they're, you know, you renting it, they should be no hag, at least not to do dvarim bezuyim in that area. Gimel, tashmish kedusha kigon tik asfarim. Since we mentioned this already, there is a concept of tashmish mitzvah. What's tashmish mitzvah? Your lulav. Sukkos is over. You can throw your lulav. Many people save it to burn it with a chametz. That's like a hider. But beikar din tashmish mitzvah nizraki. Tashmish kedusha nignazin. A person has old tefillin straps. You have the mantle of Sefer Torah, so then you have to put them in Geniza. The truth is, today there are different types of Geniza. If you go in the streets of these big blue Geniza stations, have you ever seen them?
Yeah.
So most of them on top, it's just for like, you know, newspapers and parsha sheets and things like that. And in the bottom, there's a special thing called Geniza Chamura. The Geniza Chamura, they really put it in hard plastic things, they bury it. The Geniza Kala, they just like put them in garbage bags and they bury it, you know, in a more, in a less, it's not laman yamdu yamim ramim. It's like it's not the same level of kedusha. Anyway, lemaisa tashmish kedusha, real tashmish kedusha, you have to be buried in Geniza. Kigon tik shal svarim mezuzos or tzuos tefillin. You know, from us, the tefillin case usually doesn't touch the klaf. The tefillin case, what touches the klaf?
The
cellophane. Usually, there's like cellophane paper. You know what I'm saying? Or so same thing with the tefillin, even the tikshul tefillin. Do your tikshul tefillin touch the people's plastic boxes? Or the plastic box is attached to kedusha. The tefillin case, there's a shaila about that. Some people say it still has a kedushas tashmish because the yud of the tefillin touches it. And others say no, the yud of the dalet, that's a shaila. But a tikshul svarim, right? The mantle certainly, you know, would have kedushas tashmish. The Argas is the Aron Kodesh. This is a huge issue. Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh have a din of Tashmish Kedusha. Now, if you say it does, you have to be gonis. So you have an old Aron Kodesh. You have to bury it. It's a pain in the neck. So the best thing to do is to give it to a different shul. That's what we did in our shul. We got a new Aron Kodesh. So I started researching this. Do I have to, you know, be gonis Aron Kodesh? But then somebody said to me, I asked the Rav, he said, just try to give it away. And that's what I did. There was another shul who wanted it, so it worked out well. But you don't always have that luxury, so somebody says there's no other shul who wants it. So what do you do with the old Aron Kodesh?
I think you'll do that. There are old
right, yeah, for sure. But let's say you have a place that nobody wants it, so what do you do? It's old, it's decrepit, it's broken, whatever. So, Oh, so there's a shaila what to do. Some, first of all, you have to ask, is it Tashmishei Kedusha? So that, but burning it is one idea. Let's first, hold on a second. Is it Tashmishei Mitzvah or Tashmishei Kedusha? So Tashmishei Kedusha Nignazim. Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrakim. So Lulav is for Bir HaChametz, right? Pili, Lulav, Tashmishei Mitzvah. Is it Tashmishei Mitzvah? Is it Tashmishei Kedusha? So I said before, I said touch it. Does our Sefer Torah touch the Aron Kodesh? No. Once upon a time, apparently, they didn't always have a meal. Some of us had, some of us not. So some want to say that our Sefer Torah, our Aron Kodeshes, rather, are not Tashmishi. There's Tashmishi. Tashmishi can throw them out. Today, I mean, most shuls don't have a Haftorahs with a cloth, and if they do, they have a cover on them, meaning...
If the Sefer Torah... have a cover on them, so then they never actually make contact.
Right, and so okay. So the question is, does that make a difference? So some posts say yes. There are some Sephardi posts say yes. The Minhag Ashkenaz, based on the Raman Siftalid, is that no, the Aron Kodesh by definition is an Aron Kodesh. So Mela is Tashmishei Kedusha. And therefore you have to be gonis it. So Ashkenazim really hold you have to be gonis it. Our Sephardim hold that no, the Aron Kodesh, you can just, since it's Tashmish, they define it as Tashmish, and therefore, Ikra Din, you don't have to be going easy. And some argue you could try to take it and use it for another purpose, turn it into a bookshelf. I thought that's what you meant before. That you could turn it, do other things with it. That's what some suggest. It's not so practical. Usually, our today in Eretz Yisrael, most Aron Kodeshes are safes. So if you have to go into a safe, you know, it would be really, really challenging and costly, you know, to get somebody to schlep it somewhere. So... I don't think they usually do that, but usually safes don't need to be nignas, just because the reality is that, you know, they don't get ruined. I'm saying, if you want a bigger one, you can usually pass it on to a different shul, you know, as well as take a smaller one. But
is Aron Kodesh defined as something that can be used for the Aron, or would it be something that holds that houses the safe Torah?
Yeah. What's Nafkamina?
My shul, yeah. Have this Sefer Torah that was saved from the Holocaust, that's in a glass display case.
So the glass display case of the
Sefer Torah. Glass display case in our own.
Right. So I interesting question. I know in the Hawaii Library, they used to have like a Sefer Torah opened, like on the fourth floor or something.
Yeah.
And once Rav Schacht, he was not into it. He thought that it's like how can he just display the Sefer Torah like that? And it's like, it's and I asked him Lichtenstein, and he was like, no, you want to show him the Sefer Torah. Like, it's like there's value in that. There's like, you know, it's just interesting. Like, a Rosh Hashanah was like, you're not learning from it, so how can you just... You go to the Israel Museum also, they have like old Sefer Torah, like, opened. So, like, it's displaying it, the Bezayin, or is it Farkeret? It's you're displaying it. It's like a Davar Chashuv. If you want to, like, you know, show the beauty. This is a Sefer Torah written 400 years ago, you know, whatever. You know. So that's an interesting question. But in terms of the Tashmishi Kedusha, it's the same issue. Do we say the display case is a din of Tashmishi Kedusha? What do you mean?
The story about the
Sefer Torah. Oh, right.
Oh. Where we see is a glass display by these Reformed Jews.
The Seder. Anyway, this is a figure of Halacha Lamaisa. Ashkenazim generally assume that Aron Kodesh has a din of Tashmishi Kedusha. The Shalat came off my shul. They built a temporary Aron Kodesh for because of Corona. So Mechatchila, if it's made as a temporary Aron Kodesh, you can argue it doesn't have Kedusha, because the problem is that sometimes they use these temporary Aron Kodeshes, they're going to use them for Beis Avels, and it, like, so it's unclear to me when they built it, were they doing it dafka for the Corona, and it's like, okay, or say, no, this is like, it's good that Shul has a small Sefer Torah for small Aron Kodesh to take the small Sefer Torah to places where it needs to, and then it might have to Shri Kedusha, and it actually is dafka because the door fell off, and they had to switch the hinges, and the question was, what do you do with these hinges? Are these hinges Tashmishei Kedusha, or are these hinges... You know, not. So, Lamaisa, I don't know. We didn't actually get the conclusion on this. They're still in the shul, the hinges. But I thought that since it was made temporary, it really was made for Corona. That's why they made it. So it was made temporary. And anyway, for the Sephardim, and our Kodesh is only Tashmish. So like a Sveik type of thing. So if you got to ask a Sephardi member of the shul to dispose of them, you know, that would be mutter. I thought, but I didn't come to a conclusion with that.
Does it matter that Aron is designated as, like, an
Or it has to be designated. If it's not designated, a person takes a talus and they put it over the Sefer Torah when they, you know, take the Sefer Torah to a minyan somewhere. Of course, it's not a tashmish, you know, because even if they even the Sefer Torah is touched, usually according to Rav Avadia, the only tashmish of the Sefer Torah is the piece of plastic on the shulchan, because on the shulchan doesn't touch the Sefer Torah, and even the fancy, you know, material that they have doesn't touch it. They have always a piece of plastic. Here in our base measure, it's a hard piece of plastic. Usually, it's a soft piece of plastic that touches the Sefer Torah. So that certainly requires geniza, but the parochet doesn't. Even according to the Ashkenazim, shayla of aron kodesh, right, have a special status as an aron kodesh. The Sefer. So let's just move on. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Aron, I mean, that's kind of has hektish. That itself has a din of a kli in the base of Mikdash, part of the base of Mikdash. Okay, you're making an important point. Even if the Aron isn't a Tashmish Kedusha, it has Kedusha Space Knesset. You're 100% right. So if you'd want to get rid of an old Aron Kodesh, what you would have to do is do a Mechira, designed to be ear, and somebody gives some amount of money to the shul board to purchase it. Once they purchase it, the money, the kedusha leaves. So you're right; it has kedusha b'shem. It's a very important point. It just might not have kedushas. So you're saying it's pashut that you should have to sell the hinges. You're saying because the hinges have kedushas b'shem, they just might not have kedushas itashvish kedusha. You're right. It's a good important point. It's a good thing we didn't. Go ahead with that yet. So we're still working it out. You know, it's the Seder. The Seder. Okay. No, but I'll tell you why. Because Kedusha's Beis Knesses, if something is already not Roy for Tashmish, it loses Kedusha's Beis Knesses. I mean, if you have a broken chair. So you can just throw it out, right? I think. If you have a broken chair from a shul, you don't have to do a Mechira. I think the need for Mechira is only when it's functional. So if I have a broken hinge from the thing, I have to look into it. That's my idea. But
my impression was in terms of
Beis Mikdash, the Beis Mikdash is different. It is certainly Kedusha. The Shaila is.
Right.
Okay, so let's see if we can do a little bit more. Let's just finish this. We're in the middle of Aleph, in the middle of. Where are we in the Ramah? The Dafka, the Hadavar Shem Nichim Ben Davar Kedusha. The Atzma Lufam Benasat Kvodu. Gona Michseh Shal Akroshim Shal Svarim. Right, we have like, you know, a cloth of a Megillah, so the box of the cloth that has Kedusha. Aval Oso Michseh Shu Lishmar Oso Michseh Shal Akroshim Lo Mikri Tashvish. It's twice removed. It's not. It's Tashvish Tashvish. Tavi Tashvish Tashvish. So the Ramah is a kula, even though Aron is a din of Tashmish. If it's made for Shmira, it's like a safe, it's made primarily for Shmira, so then it would be more pasha than it's mutter. Okay, also the mutter. Okay, also the chavis in tvacha shall sifre Torah and meirglaim they cover. Okay, it's obvious to us. Okay, I don't really know how they would wash things. So it sounds like they would use meirglaim.
Everything used to be much more simple
Dalav, it's pachos sefer Torah shabali. You call them lasus pan tachrich in the mace. Vizoi gizasa. If an old mantle, you can use it to make tachrichin. They don't do that today, but it's not necessary. But it would be mutter. Okay, there is a daya. I think a taz. It says in general, it's always better to instead of geniza is like a last resort. It's better to even imori mikdusha. If you have an old aron kodesh, make it into like a sfarim shrank. Instead of being gonesim. I don't think we usually assume that way. First of all, most of us don't repurpose things. It's like not part of our culture. We just like throw things out, you know, which is a reality. You know, it could be a sad reality, but that's just our reality. But also, I don't think we hold it. Could be Horeb Mekdusha is worse than Geniza. Because you're more in Mekdusha. Geniza, you're just putting it away. Sefer Torah Shabbala minichin osov v'klicheres v'gonzin osov v'kever talmi chacham filo eino ela shara halachos v'lashimish talmi chacham. If your Sefer Torah Chavetz Chacham is burnt or bala, so you put it in a klicheres. Today they don't use cheres. Today they use hard plastic, as I said before. Hard plastic lasts, you know, forever, and they put it not ma'amash by the base. By the Talmid Chacham, on the side of the Beis Kvaras, every couple of years, the Chevra Kedisha announces that they're going to do a Kvura of old Sifrei Torah, and if there are any Sifrei Torah that need to be Nikbar, so then they put it in these big canisters, and they bury it in near the, on the side of the Beis Knesses. The issue with the, you know, the Sfarim and the Geniza is a big issue, because there's so many Parsha sheets, there's so many, you know... So there's a shayla if you really need to be gonizim. They're not written on klaf, published. This is a big machlokas. The minhag is to put them in this geniza kala, like I said. There's some posts you want to say that you can just, you know, wrap them up and throw them out, to recycle them, especially the parsha sheets are made only for temporary use, but it's really a big machlokas in the postkim. It's not a clear hachra. It would be better if all the parsha sheets didn't have whole psukim and all the parsha sheets were makbid, you know, to have shemos. But the Lamaya said they're not, so therefore people are hesitant to just allow, you know, recycling. But there are different opinions, and different communities have different
It's very clear from this room that they're allowed to cheat.
Right, right. okay, so I guess we'll stop here, and we'll pick up Mirza Hashem after.